Your Excellency, Lewski, all fathers, sisters, the family of Father Wathen, and all the friends of Father Wathen from far and wide here today. First of all, we all, in the name of these people, extend to you, the family, the sisters, and brothers of Father Wathen, our deepest sympathy and condolences on your great loss. Though Father Wathen was a very private individual, we do know that he was the descendant of the Catholic pioneer families of the Wathens and Spaldings who immigrated to Maryland from England in the 1600s, well before the American Revolution. The truths and traditions, two of the many fruits of this family line were manifested and two devoted bishops who served the Roman Catholic Church in America in the 19th century. One was Archbishop Martin J. Spaulding, the seventh head of the first see in the United States. The Catholic Church in America, and not in New York or any of the other eastern seaboard cities. It was in Baltimore, and so that is called the primatial see of America. Even today, when the cardinals and bishops of America gather, the Archbishop of Baltimore has the first place because that was the first center of the Catholic Church. I was, myself in my personal life, ordained by the Cardinal Archbishop of Baltimore at my ordination in Washington. Archbishop Spaulding was instrumental in helping establish the American College at Louvain in Belgium and promoting the North American College in Rome. Both of these prestigious universities were the seedbed for the future bishops of the church in America. Archbishop Spaulding also served on the Second Plenary Council of Baltimore, which produced the Baltimore Catechism. He was also a conciliar father at the First Vatican Council in 1870, which would be the last truly Catholic ecumenical council. Following him in the family was another bishop, Bishop John Lancaster Spaulding, who was consecrated in 1877 as the first bishop of Peoria, Illinois, where he served as a faithful, loving shepherd for 31 years. Bishop John Spaulding was a prime mover for the establishment of the Catholic University of America in Washington, D.C. The loyalties and love for the church these early bishops held was carried on by Father Wathen, who was one of the first to recognize the auto-demolition within the Catholic Church in America following Vatican II, especially the Novus Ordo Missae of Pope Paul VI. Therefore, Father Wathen set out to prove through Roman Catholic doctrines, church documents, sacred scripture, and papal pronouncements that the new Mass, the Novus Ordo Missae, and the Apostolic Constitution Missali Romanum of Pope Paul VI did not involve papal infallibility. They totally changed the essence of Mysterium Fidei, that is the phrase in the consecration of the precious blood at every Mass. They fiddled with that. This constitution of Paul VI strayed from the truths, traditions, and teachings of the Catholic Church, and Father Wathen pointed this all out. Through his masterful logic and proofs, he showed meticulously, how the new rite was anathema, that is, cursed. By detailing it, he proved beyond a doubt that the Novus Ordo is not Catholic, and therefore, since the Pope was exceeding the limits of his office and violating the very oath not to change the traditions handed down to him, that the Pope's action were null and void and definitely not to be obeyed by anyone serious about the salvation of their eternal soul. Let me say this, you: the Pope is not like the director of IBM or Ford or software companies in America. The church is a divine institution coming from God through Jesus Christ. And the job of the Pope, so to speak, is not to innovate new things, but to conserve the doctrine that came from Christ to the apostles, that ended with the death of St. John the Apostle around the year 100. And it's to conserve that doctrine and pass it on unchanged to every generation coming down. When the Pope exceeds that, he's completely outside the limits of his job. The job of the Holy Father is to conserve the truth of Almighty God in the visible church on earth. Through simple syllogism, Father Wathen laid out clearly that if we believe all that the church believed about all these things before Vatican II, then we must adhere to the Council of Trent and the official documents of the Eternal Church. Sadly, few heeded the wisdom or the truths that Father wrote, that the Apostolic Constitution Quo Primum of Pope St. Pius V was still in effect, not the Novus Ordo, pointed out in his book that about the true Mass was still in effect, and that the Tridentine Mass, the Latin Mass, the Mass of all ages, is the only Mass of the Latin Rite, of the universal one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. It's not you've heard me say before, it's not a matter of the new against the old. Naturally, we appreciate the new. I'm glad I could drive here to Owensboro today in a car and not ride a horse. So in the material universe, we make progress. But the truths from Almighty God are eternal, invisible, and therefore unchangeable. And that's what Father was saying in the Quo Primum Tempore of Pope St. Pius V. So it's not a matter of the new against the old, it is the true. This is the true eternal Mass coming from the Lord Jesus Christ through the apostles out of the catacombs and into history unchanged until 1970, our own lifetime. In his masterful book, The Great Sacrilege, pulling no punches or backing up every word, which was written 33 years ago, and nothing of what he wrote has changed since then, Father showed the truth of all these things. Rather, things have gone from bad to worse, and the barren fruits that would result from the change, as he foretold back then, have indeed been borne out. He identified in the book over three decades ago exactly the sad, tragic fate of the church that is present today. This diminution of the church has also been described in other books. The great German philosopher Dietrich van Hildebrand covered it in the book The Devastated Vineyard. And his wife, 20 years after his death, his own wife, Alice von Hildebrand, covered it again in The Darkened City. Jesus Christ had said, the kingdom of God is a city sitting on a mountaintop, illuminating all who come to it. That was the Church of Rome before the tragedy of Vatican Council II, a pastoral council, a minor league council. Defy no dogmas, none of what's been passed off to us as the doctrine of the church was ever intended by the fathers. Cardinal Sheehan, who ordained me from the primatial see, as he retired in his later years, decried in his own writings the absurdities that had ensued from the council that he attended. Father Wathen, being a loyal priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, remembered the oath that he had taken on his ordination day over 40 years ago, just across the street from here, in this funeral home we're having the service today. Father, in the cathedral across the street, took the oath against modernism. The modernism that pervades the church today and is maintained by the Roman Protestants in the very holy city of Rome today. Father did not look for accolades from man, for he realized in the Apostle Paul's words in the letter to the Galatians, chapter 1, verse 8, about the anathema, the curse, against these changes, and that if one sought to please men, then God, they could not be the servants of Christ. And modern Rome serves men, not Christ. And that was what Father Wathan always sought to be, a servant of Christ. Serving the Son of God and being loyal to his Holy Mother Mary by bringing the gospel and the sacraments to her divine Son's starving, faithful remnant scattered throughout the entire country. By foot, by air, by road, by car, Father was always available to go anywhere to bring the Mass of all ages to those who refused to partake in the great sacrilege of Paul VI. Truly it could be said of Father, half Mass will travel. Coming now to the last 3 years of his illness, Father lamented that he could no longer make the trips he used to make, for his health had deteriorated from cancer. But he boldly fought on, knowing that when God was ready, he would be called home. He did so much in reinforcing the spirits and resolve of the faithful people in providing exclusively the Mass of all angels, the holy sacrifice of the Roman Rite, so that souls could be fed, nourished, and saved, and vocations again flourish in the tradition which Father Wathan's own families and countless other dedicated, selfless Catholic families had passed down. Perhaps in heaven he will be in a position to help us even more in preserving the true faith that has been taken from us. In this fleeting life, which is but a drop of water compared to the never-ending ocean of eternity, Father Wathan made the most that the drop of water he had, he was given. So could we, so must we. We could and should make use of the talents or the gifts that God, everything comes from God, to be faithful and as dedicated as he was to the holy religion. Now his work accomplished, the merits of his work as a loyal priest will go far in placing him in the fast lane to heaven. Quite possibly the very holy man and guardian of the true Mass, Pope St. Pius V, to whom Father dedicated his defining work, the Great Sacrilege, would personally escort him to the Father's throne, where all of us long to hear from God himself one day, "Well done, good and faithful servant." During his last illness, especially the last 6 months, Father Wathan taught me personally a lesson, and that is how to die. And I hope that I cling to this lesson for the rest of my life. He showed such courage and fortitude and even peace. See, and he accepted what was happening to him. He struggled on, but the entire experience was a lesson. Even in these last months, he continued to write. His writings contained his gifted insights and deductions on all things Catholic. Blessed are those of us who in these last months, by the miracle of the internet, received his final writings, the last of which now is available, the Imperial Mass. Written from the brink of eternity, His gracious words are all the more touching and memorable as a final gift to all of us, his friends. Rest in peace, Father, for your wonderful works precede you before the throne of the great King.